Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm sad. I'm honestly sad right now. It's
it's the most miserable time of the year. On the 10th day of Christmas, the Kings gave to me another home loss. Oh my God.
On the 9th day of Christmas, the Kings gave to me really bad news about De'Aaron Fox.
On the 8th day of Christmas, the Kings gave to me another loss when it's 5 points or less.
On the 7th day of Christmas, the Kings gave to me LeBron getting to the basket at every moment that he wanted to, into the paint whenever he wanted to.
On the 6th day of Christmas, Kings gave to me Anthony Davis blocking so many shots and making us scared to attack the paint like usual.
It's so stupid.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
I feel like I've never had more of those like sighs entering a podcast than I have had this season. The Kings have lost 3 in a row. They are 6-10 at home. They have lost 7 of 9 at home. They lose to the Lakers 103-99. And oh, by the way, we're now talking about the future of De'Aaron Fox in Sacramento. Merry Christmas! I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. Hi, Mo. You are in Orlando covering the G League Showcase. We just witnessed another tough home loss, Morgan. And I have honestly gotten past the point of anger with this team this season. And I have officially reached sadness. I am sad tonight because it just feels like not only is this season just spiraling out of control, there is a ton of uncertainty in regards to the future of this current team. And I am in the process of thinking bad thoughts.
Well, hello. Great to see you.
Yeah, great to see you.
Yeah. My ups and downs today. I mean, you definitely called me early and I was prepping for my games. And you're like, did you see the article? Did you see it? Spiraling. And I'm like, I'm prepping. And then you still proceeded to read me quotes and read the entire article to me. And I was like, okay, thank you. And then I was like, my point to this, because then I had to go to the gym and I was like, am I okay? And I'm like, I think I'm okay. And I kept just telling myself like, no, you're okay. It's fine. And then I was like, oh, things will just be better if they win the game. Like if they win tonight. You know, like I was like, things will be better. Like Band-Aid, need a little Band-Aid, some blood. They didn't get the win. And on top of that, I have to come back knowing that they lost the game watch the game and how they lost the game, even just like in from how it started, not setting the tempo, to how it ended, not being able to just find a way to get a win on your home floor in that fashion. Yeah, not good.
We mentioned the 6-10 at home. Our buddy Frankie Cardicelli put out a tweet with teams who have 10 losses at home this year. Sacramento is one of them. The 6-20 Utah Jazz is the other. The 7-21 Charlotte Hornets and the 4-21 Washington Wizards. Those are the four teams in the NBA with 10 losses at home to this point. Sacramento is now 13-16 on the season. And the season is really falling apart. We talked about how critical this stretch of games would be for Sacramento trying to move up in the standings. We all pay attention to the standings going, hey, look, they're just right there on the fifth spot. Well, yeah, they may be still in the mix for the fifth, but they're also in the mix for like 14 or 13, right? Like that's where it's at. And I said it today on pregame with Chelsea Gray. I'm like, we could pay attention to the standings if you want. Or you just have to worry about your own business, because who cares about the teams around you? It doesn't matter if you just keep losing games. And here we are in another close game for Sacramento. They can't make shots. They shoot on the game 43%, 27% from three on 10 of 37, and they get held to 99 points and they lose 103-99. This game was tied at 89. Then the Lakers respond with a big run. They get it to a 10-point game. Fox gets them back into it. They're close. And then they fail to execute down the stretch. They get bailed out with Anthony Davis at the free throw line. Two free throws. He misses the first. Mike Brown puts Lyles, Sabonis, and Len in the game. Huh, if there's a miss, you're getting a rebound. No, somehow Rui is more physical with Sabonis than Sabonis was physical with him. Rui just outworks him. Tips it out. It goes to Austin Reeves, ball game, 103-99. There's so many layers to the game. It's not just that one play, but this is this King season in a nutshell, not taking advantage of opportunities at home. The fact that you lose another game like this, Morgan, they are now 3-10 in games decided by 5 points or less. 3-10. They've been in 13 games decided by 5 points or less, and they've won three of them. Okay, I'm going back to the anger stage. I just realized.
I know. Calm. I'm like literally rubbing my ears. It's like giving woosa.
I just threw a lot at you. I know.
No. But let me go off the last thing that you just said. And you think about them being in those games. And I remember at the beginning of the season when they were losing some of those games, beginning of the season. And Keegan was asked about it at practice, and he's like, it's a good thing that we're in these games. And I remember being like, yeah, no, that's a great point. Like, you're in these games, it's the NBA, great. Now we're at a point in the season.
29 games in.
it's not okay to not be able to find a way to win. Good teams find a way to win, and that's why you and I, in the games this season that we have found the times that the Kings find a way to win, we give all the love. We break it down where it's like, yeah, this is what good teams do. Great. But good teams also do it more. And that's what I'm starting to see with the Sacramento Kings team, that it's just not happening enough, where we're going back to that conversation that we had a couple weeks ago. Is this even a good team? Yeah. Which is just wild yeah. to say when you think about what is on this roster. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it feels like they should be better, even though they're flawed. And these are things that we said before the season. I thought this team's gonna be pretty good. They're gonna be tough to guard. You know, you get guys knocking down shots. You've got DeMar, who's able to get a double team Fox, a bonus monk. That's a lot of like scoring talent. But it's looked clunky. You know, it has. There's stages where it hasn't looked clunky and it's looked nice. You know, the stretch when Monk was first in the starting lineup, even though they lost some games, you're like, oh, well, the offense starting to flow. But even tonight, you know, DeMar, last couple of games, 10 points, he had 12 tonight. And it seemed like he was struggling with the fact that the Lakers were throwing doubles at him. He was not getting in the post. He was not getting the same type of looks. And then the Kings were trying to get him involved. And I felt like in this specific game, it's like, I understand, like, you want to you want to try to get him involved, but Fox is also cooking. So like, don't force feed, like just play the game. And Sacramento is just that free flowing offense we saw 2 years ago. And I understand that it's changed where they're like near the top of the NBA in passes per game. Those passes per game have gone down every single year. Mike Brown mentioned it after the Lakers win the other night. Sacramento had 197 passes in that game. They average on the season 231. They were completely taken out. I think that number was better tonight, but they still never look quite comfortable in this game offensively. So it's frustrating. It's really frustrating where you lose really these last three games, right? You go back to the Denver game. You're up 10 with 3:55 to play after the shittiest start ever. Last game against the Lakers, shitty ass start. You get back in the game, but then the execution isn't there. They run away with it. And then tonight, it's back and forth. Lakers go back up by 10. You're fighting through it. But when you have opportunities late, you have to execute. And it seems like they never get that run to close out a game. They just don't get it.
Yeah. And like, I don't know what that is. Is that like you need someone with that competitive fire? You need someone like, I don't know. Because I feel like you have such clutch players on this team, you would think that that mentality is there at the end of the game. And it's that mentality isn't like, I got this, I'm going to get mine. That's not always the mentality. The mentality is still like being like, is still playing just like this good style of basketball. And that, well, adding in there, if I need to step up, I got this. Like, it's going to be me. I got this, whatever. I don't know how to explain what has been going on in some of these stretches of games. You know, like you can talk about the bad basketball, whatever, but like the mental part of it, I'm just so curious where these guys go in some of these stretches. And it's the NBA, it's a game of runs, all the different things. But why, with the roster that you have, are you getting screwed in all these runs? Like, something's wrong. And I can't put my finger on it.
They're just not good enough. The combination doesn't work. And we talk all day long about, the pieces look good. It just hasn't. You know, I feel like we're doing an autopsy on the season when it's 29 games in. And we're like, hey, the LA Kings season's ending. There's obviously still a lot of time left. But we're at like a critical point of the season. The Pacers come to town on Sunday. Second night of a back-to-back, second day of a back-to-back, Tyrese Halliburton coming to town. You don't think Tyrese wants to come in here and try to throw the Kings into a casket and try to shut that casket like he was the Undertaker? I mean, of course he does.
Are you doing the WWE fan?
Yeah. I didn't make that connection, but that's kind of funny. Yeah, I forgot. And then, like, it's not just the loss either, right? It's like, wow, this news about De'Aaron Fox came out today and De'Aaron was on Draymond's podcast. And you're just like, oh man, this went from like, for me, it went from, all right, like they got to make a tweak. We acknowledge they got to make a tweak. Like, they got to add to this roster and maybe they can get it going. You know, Dallas had that surge when they added PJ Washington and Gafford, and you never know, maybe the Kings can add to it and get it going. At this point, they needed a move yesterday, right? Like it's in a critical juncture of the season, and you're like, can you really wait till February to do this? You know, and there's just so many questions. So I get we're all over the place. I guess my question for you right now, Morgan, is, do we want to focus a little more on the game before diving into the Fox stuff and then go into De'Aaron? Because I think we can make a transition there.
I think we make the transition, because I'm like,
can I add a couple of things about the game then? Just a couple of things.
Add a few more things about the games, what you liked, what you didn't like. Even though I obviously didn't watch the middle of the game, but just seeing at the end that when D'Lo was still hitting like some big shots and him coming off the bench, knocking down 20, I was just like, what in the, like, it just, oh, and then one more thing I want to add about the game too, is just like when I started it, seeing how They turned the ball over. Like, there was four early turnovers in that first quarter. I
Yeah.
don't even know what they finished with in that first quarter. Maybe just four. But there was four I can remember. And I just watching this game, I was just so disappointed. It felt so clunky. I go, where is this like spark or this confidence that
Well,
you feel on your home
I don't
floor?
know what happened, but this Kings team cannot make an entry pass to save their life. Again, it was early in this game trying to, oh, Keegan's got a mismatch. Let's force it in there with a bounce pass. And you're just like, this happened last game. What are we doing? What are we doing? And there's so many times, I think the Lakers love the fact that like they were getting mismatches and the Kings were like, oh, there's a mismatch. I got to try to force it. It would make the Kings think. And that's what the Lakers, to their credit, I think their defense, switch everything out there, impacts the Kings. I think the Kings have struggled with defenses that switch everything. And then the Kings go into overthinking mode instead of just playing their way. They're free-flowing away, attacking. They haven't pushed the pace enough. And when they have, they've been sloppy with it. But to start this game, it wasn't a 17-4 deficit, but it still wasn't good. I think they were down 17-7.
Yeah.
Actually, I wrote this down. You're going to die at this stat. So the Lakers in this game finished with 17 fast break points, okay? 17,
Okay.
which is a pretty healthy number, right? Kings had eight, by the way. At the 6:51 mark of the first quarter, the Lakers were up 15-7. The Kings had four turnovers at that point, and the Lakers had 11 fast break points at that point. 11 fast break points in less than a half a quarter. And
And
then and
their
you it,
fast break points were beautiful.
yeah.
Playing together, throwing alley-oops. I mean, they were just dominant, deflating fast break points.
And LeBron got going early. And that was my other thing with like watching LeBron tonight. I think he had 12 points in the first quarter. At the half, he was massive too. I think he had like 20 plus at the half. He finishes tonight with 32 points on 13 of 23 shooting. I don't think his second half was very good. He settled a lot. That first
Yeah.
half, I was laughing because I'm like, wow, he's got 23 points at the half. 16 are in the paint, and he was 8 of 8 in the paint. The Kings
Yeah.
were—they were not throwing any double teams at him. I mean, they were seeking out mismatches. There was even one, I think it might have been late second or in the third quarter, where they were just running a little screen action to get the switch, and LeBron got monk switched on him. I mean, that's tough, right? So, what do you do in that situation? Do you just let it happen, or you try to like throw something at him? LeBron drives past Monk, and then the help came, and LeBron got fouled. And I'm just like, what are we doing?
Why was he able to go downhill so many times? Like, where was the even the resistance, even if it like even if Malik Monk wasn't going to be the best option, I've seen Malik Monk still take on different challenges and be able to slow down, maybe not stop, but
Yeah,
slow down
but
if it's not a downhill like break to the basket.
it's just you're asking a lot for LeBron going at you downhill.
It's a lot of
And
force. I understand.
so I just thought the defense, like they didn't throw different looks at LeBron. And I think they threw like one double at him tonight. Like, I mean, you just can't let, and I don't know, like, I think LeBron too, like, because he's like 40 years old in the second half, he was like, okay, I set the tone here. You guys finish this off for me. I'm not going to be attacking like I did in the first half. And they got Sabonis on some switches. And I thought LeBron was just settling for jumpers, you know, but he set the tone. And then, you know, I thought the other thing, the Kings, again, this is goes to a bigger point of their flaws that's been like this for the last few years, is they struggle with teams that have length and switch everything.
Yeah.
The Kings got some good looks tonight. They missed some, but like literally, the Anthony Davis's sheer presence in the paint messed with them. And they also did the same thing that they did last game, where I felt like they attacked him early, where I'm like, what are we doing? Like Malik Monk on a two-man game has AD switched on him and he tries to attack him, and AD just blocked that shit.
Yeah. No, there was a few times, a few of those blocks. What, how many blocks did he end up finishing with in this
Only
one?
three, but it felt like a
Okay.
hundred. Yeah, I think he like my mind, he had 100 tonight.
No, and it's like you said, because I heard you on the post game, which by the way, sidebar, you crushed it on the post game
It's
with Chelsea.
fine.
I just love, no, really, like I just
Do
thought
you know
you
what my
were.
favorite thing about tonight was pregame, how like I was so excited to be on with Chelsea, and I tweeted out, hey, I'm on, blah, 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 is everyone checking out? And then I'm like, oh, wow, I'm getting a lot of mentions. Let's see what the people are saying. They must be loving what I'm doing. Hey, Deuce, it's not on at YouTube TV. It's not on. Like, I can't, I'm not able to watch it. Oh, dude. So, like, I prepped for, like, all this work. And then I'm with Chelsea and no one's being able to see it. Oh, dude, that's so cool.
No, it's absolute bullshit. Yeah. And I have nothing to do with it, but I apologize.
Dude, it is the most frustrating thing. And I've been told it's like a YouTube TV thing. And I'm just like, I don't care. Just figure it out. That's how I am with the kids. Figure it out. The fans want to watch. I'm on there. I'm talking. Can I just know that I'm not wasting my time?
I remember someone told me like, oh, well, at least you get paid. I don't care. I don't care. Yeah. I want to show off the work that I put in, but also I need the money. But yeah. I like to show off the work that I put in, but whatever. Either way. So post game though, you crushed it.
Whatever.
I loved watching Chelsea, thought it was great. And I forget what my point to that being though was just like when you guys were talking about something that
was 80s blocks. And
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. And so you talk about it like his sheer presence and just his ability to disrupt so many different looks at the basket. Yeah. It wasn't even just in the paint. It was literally everywhere on the floor. And I mean, we know he's playing some of his best basketball and everything, but you just played this team and you couldn't figure it out one way. Yeah. So then that's where you make the adjustments. And I just feel like big enough adjustments aren't being made or overthinking is happening. I don't know what it is, but
the pace isn't there in the half court. It's just not like I'm cool with attacking AD when he's on his heels and like, oh crap, he's got to work hard when he's rotating out and you're attacking a closeout and he's trying to recover. Cool. But when you just get the switch and then you do some dancing with him and then you go in ISO mode and attack, which we saw last game, or, you know, you try to drive by him. I mean, Fox did it too. Anthony Davis just swallowed these guys up. And he's just like, cool, that's easy. And he wasn't the only one. Cam Reddish, I thought, was really impactful tonight. He had a couple of blocks, a couple of steals, played 21 minutes, and his length bugged Sacramento in this one. And so that some of the same problems over and over again. And then late game situation, I know we kind of went over it, but, you know, it's just they miss some good looks. And you go, oh, hey, man, you got a good look. You got a ticket. Yeah, but also you have to start making them too. Like, I don't know how many times we have to say this year, like, hey, they're getting some good looks. Well, yeah. You also get paid to knock down shots, and you have to knock them down. Like, these other teams are knocking them down. If you're getting good looks, like, you are expected to make them. And then the execution at the free throw line with Anthony Davis in there. It's like, there is just no excuse why they should have gotten a second chance opportunity. And what a swing in the game. That was ball game right there. You would have had the ball and rewind to the ball was on the previous play. LeBron driving when Sabonis has the and one, LeBron driving on Keegan, ball gets deflected. It goes off Anthony Davis's fingertips. Should have been King's ball. You don't have a challenge because you use both of them. And look, I know you want them, but that's where my weird brain is like, I always want a challenge at the end of the game because that type of play changes things. And it's frustrating, you know? So anyway, then you're in a situation with AD, misses two at the line, and you can't secure the rebound? Down two? It hurts. It hurts. And then you walk away with this, another loss.
And I would be the I'm down to be the type to be like, it's the NBA. Shit happens. Oh, sometimes that happens. You don't get this play. You don't get this play. It happens every game. It happened. Now it's happened so many times where it's been the reason why they don't lose, or like just a big play where it's like, it doesn't come down to just the big play. But my point is good teams find a way to win.
Yep.
And I just feel in these moments, you're always seeing the other team come out on the other end and find the way to get that 50-50 ball or that rebound or whatever it may be. And it's just like, I know the efforts there with these guys. We've already talked about the roster. Like we already know, like, coaching wise, they can't be out there on the floor and not turn the ball over and make the ball for them or whatever it may be. So it's just, sometimes it's, it's just confusing.
I've watched the Lakers a lot this year and they've looked really bad at times. Tonight, I watch them and I'm like, they look frightening. And I'm like, is that the Kings making them look frightening? Because I feel like defensively, at least in these two games, they're communicating, flying everywhere. Their length is a problem. D'Lo coming off the bench seems like it's been a good thing for him. You know, they put Max Christie in the starting lineup. D'Lo was cooking guys all night, cooked Herter multiple times on drives, and then he's hitting big shots, playing in control, taking good shots. Anthony Davis's defensive presence, just money tonight. Like, he didn't have a big offensive night, but he didn't need to because they got other guys that can contribute. So you had D'Angelo Russell with 20, Austin Reeves 16, you had LeBron with 32. I mean, Rui had 11 rebounds. They had 9 offensive rebounds. Kings actually had more offensive rebounds, but the Lakers had more second chance points. And then the last thing, the turnovers, you were kind of talking about it in the early phase of the game when the Kings had 4 turnovers in the first like 5 minutes of the game. Sacramento had 14, which isn't a bad number, but seven came in the third. And you're just like, these are wasted possessions.
And also you think about the times of where that is. The tempo, the start of the game, setting the tone to third quarter when the game is more and more on the line, where you just can't be making these mistakes late, especially against a team that is going to dominate you in so many other ways. Like, I'm not saying you have to play perfect basketball, like you have to against certain teams in the NBA, but you have to play more focused at these times.
And every loss now comes with added weight. One, you know, we're going to be 30 games into the season after the game against the Pacers. Two, this De'Aaron Fox news of today. And really this week, where De'Aaron goes on Draymond's podcast talking about the future. At the time, I didn't really think much about it because De'Aaron said the same comments to Sam Amick before the season, just talking about like, hey, like there's a lot for me to think about. I want to see where this team is at. I want to, you know, and I think there's layers to it. It's the flexibility going forward. It's wanting to be maybe get a supermax. Like there's so many reasons. But then The Athletic put out a piece today by Anthony Slater and Sam Amick bringing up the fact that Rich Paul was at a Kings Lakers game. And in, you know, previous years, that's not a big deal, right? LeBron's his guy. AD's his guy. So is De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox is represented by Clutch and Rich Paul now. According to the piece, it's where he was seated too. League sources say Rich Paul, who sat next to Fox's wife, Rissé, throughout the Kings loss that dropped him to 13 and 15 at the time, was in Sacramento to meet with general manager Monty McNair and assistant general manager Wes Wilcox before the game. The discussion, league and team sources said, was focused on the question that needs to be answered. If this partnership that began 8 seasons ago between Fox and the Kings is going to continue long term, what's the plan here?
What's the plan?
Just to be clear, Fox said on the podcast with Draymond, I want to make sure that we're in a position to try to win in the future because that's ultimately what I want to do. For me, it's, are we looking like we're continuing to get better year after year? Are we going to be able to compete at a high level? Supermax could pay him 5 years, $345 million. Just noting that real fast, the Kings are 13 and 16. Like, he's not going to be an all-NBA guy if they're this bad. So, like, we can throw the Supermax out the window. It's not happening, like, at this rate. Now, if the Kings got red hot, they're 4 seed and Fox is playing like, yeah, maybe it's there. But at this point, it's not even a thing. Let me scroll down in the article because there is more to this. Rival execs are monitoring the Fox situation closely. Those fucking sharks. And league sources say one team in particular, the San Antonio Spurs, is positioning itself to pursue the Houston native as a possible partner for Victor Wembanyama should Fox become available. Barring a significant Kings turnaround, others are surely close behind. I see your face, Morgan. You don't look happy right now. I'm going to continue on scrolling down in the article. They go over some of the Kings' roller coaster ride of a season, and they note that the Kings believe they have to make a move. Here's a piece. As Oklahoma City and Dallas have shown in recent years with SGA and Luka, the easiest way to convince a star in his prime to stay is to build a roster with championship-level depth. It's easier said than done, but it's the most foolproof way for the Kings to ensure that Fox recommits. From McNair down, the Kings are well aware this roster needs an upgrade, if not multiple. More specifically, team sources say they're prioritizing backup center and the wing spots. There are some familiar names who appear to be back on the radar, according to league sources. Among them, Portland's Jeremy Grant, Utah's John Collins, Washington's Jonas Valanciunas and Kyle Kuzma. Brooklyn's Cam Johnson is known to be of significant interest, as is, to a lesser degree, the Nets' Dorian Finney-Smith. The notion of adding a high-profile player like LaVine or Ingram is believed to be very unlikely, but the Kings have made a habit during the McNair-Wilcox era of exploring any and all possibilities that might improve the team, even if they don't appear to make sense at first glance. So, it ends saying, the purple coin has two sides, though. The pressure, quite clearly, is on the Kings, too, not just on De'Aaron Fox. So, a lot to unpack there, Morgan. But Rich Paul asking the question, what's next? Probably not a great thing. And so now it brings up the question about De'Aaron Fox's future. What are the options? Okay. Option one, Kings make a trade soon to add to this team. They address the weaknesses that maybe they think they need to at the wing and center spot, backup center spot. Okay. What's soon? Season looks like it's falling apart, right? Like it feels like this is kind of urgent. So let's just say next week the Kings make that move and it helps them. It tweaks their team and all of a sudden the Kings kind of take off. And maybe I'm painting a rosy picture here, Morgan. It's good enough to get them in the playoffs and get in the first round. They lose. Okay. Is De'Aaron like, okay, I'm going to sign up for more? Or is he going to be like, well, I don't know, like, got in.
Yeah.
You know? Or is it you wait till the trade deadline? You try to see if this group can come together, figure it out, see where you're at the trade deadline, and then make a decision whether you're going to add to this team or make some moves that more about the long-term future. Maybe it's, you move De'Aaron Fox by the deadline. Maybe it's in such a bad spot or it's in the same spot that it makes more sense to move him now. His value's high. He's got a year and a half left. There's going to be suitors that would love to add him. You cash out and you move on. The other option is you wait till the offseason and do it. I don't know, Morgan. Call me crazy. And I know I've been talking for a long time here about this.
Very long.
I don't feel good about this at this point in time. Where are you at?
I'm sad. I'm sad. I feel sad because I feel like it could be real about coming to the end.
Yeah.
And a couple things to that. For De'Aaron, the grass isn't always greener. You know, you just mentioned like, oh, let's say they make moves right now and then they get in the first round of playoffs. Like, is that good enough? And I go, well, that could happen with him on another team as well. But the whole point of it is even if that happened on another team, there's obviously the mindset that there's going to be improvement on top of that throughout the years, like or within the future, whether it was the Spurs or whoever else. This is the reality of the league, and he has every right to say the things he said on the Draymond podcast. And even when he said that, I was like, yeah, that's what he's supposed to say. Like, of course. And then as this story came out today, I was like, yeah, we were going to hear a story on this. That's fine. Whatever. And then it really sunk in throughout the day going, well, it's not just about De'Aaron. It's the organization needs to make a decision of what they want to do with this. Because you think about De'Aaron, if he did for some reason get paid a shit ton of money, like that just makes it even more difficult to trade him. And like, if he got that and then asked for a trade or anything of that situation. You just think about those situations and it's scary. And I want everyone to be happy. And the only way that the Kings fans in the organization, but mostly the Kings fans that deserve this will be happy, is if there was winning basketball. So if you were going to blow things up for real, then it better work. It better work. And that's just kind of where I'm at. I think I'm more like, I'm more realistic and rational of truly what's going on than ever. And I keep trying to put into my heart, like, it's the business. It is what it is. And that's where we're at.
He just turned 27 years old yesterday. I think if anything, it's like he's giving the Kings like a chance here. One last chance.
Yeah.
Like, I've got a big decision to make in the future. You know, he's never been a free agent, right? He's been with one team his entire career. And I truly do believe De'Aaron wants to be here.
Oh, I do
I think De'Aaron has an attachment here. I think this place matters to him. But I also think, like, it's like Dame in Portland a little bit, right? Where Dame obviously had much more, like, winning in his time in Portland. But I think De'Aaron's looking in the mirror going, okay, like, can I do it here?
And
if I have a chance, as this article is saying, like, the Spurs could be interested. I can go play with Victor Wembanyama. Who, you know, and Victor could be the best player in the league. All of a sudden, Fox isn't like a number one. He's like a number two.
Well, that and your future as a basketball player alone, just being able to have that connection.
Yeah.
And that reputation for the rest of your life. Like, and I just think about someone like Rich Paul, who is probably more of a marketing person, you know, and thinks about these things for the future of the business and making money. And all those things make sense. I don't.
Here's my thing that so many people bring up about Rich Paul, like, and I see in the chat too. If De'Aaron Fox leaves Sacramento, it's not blame Rich Paul. That's not it. Rich Paul is working for De'Aaron Fox. He may give him some suggestions, but if Fox is like, "Hey, man, I that's cool. I appreciate you. I want to stay here. This is what it's about." Rich Paul's gonna be like, good. Let's see what we can do. How can I help you thrive here? Yep. I don't think Rich Paul's on a crusade to get him out of Sacramento. But if De'Aaron's like, hey, I'm thinking about Rich, Rich might be like, all right, let me talk to the Kings front office. Let's see what they're working on. Let's see if we can stay here. Let's see what that looks like. All right, if they're not gonna do anything that we feel like is impactful, well, let's see what our options are. That's what an agent's for. You know what I mean? Like, I don't look at Rich Paul as some like evil guy who's like the puppet master saying, okay, Fox, let's get you somewhere else.
And that's the thing. I mean, he's a literal, like, his job is to make people more money. It's not to make everyone happy. It's to make people more money.
Yep.
And if it's just like you said, if De'Aaron's like, well, what's best for my career? What's best for longevity of everything, of making money, of, like, you know, being able to support my family, like, at the highest level, because, like, of course you can support your family on $100 million effing dollars.
And Fox has said that too, and Fox get paid more here than anywhere at this point.
But at the same time, it's still, like you said, it's like even ultimately, when he, if that were going to be the case and the Kings want to go in that direction with them too, it does ultimately become more difficult to trade someone when they have a huge contract, even if they are as good as De'Aaron Fox. It just,
maybe I do think with the way he's playing, I don't think it would be a problem, but, and look, I think the other option too, I mean, let me just rewind for a second. In the article, it's clear that Fox did not demand a trade. Okay. So that's not, I just want to make that clear, but Rich Paul did meet with Sacramento to say what's next. One option is, okay, you make some tweaks. That's just one of the examples. Let's say you get Kuzma and Valanciunas. I don't know. Like, what's that do for you?
Exactly.
You know, I don't know. Is that going to be enough? Like, but I guess my point is, do you make an aggressive play to add a piece? Okay. And then if it doesn't work out, yeah, you may be down an asset or two, but then Fox, if he asks out, you can just recoup some assets via trade when you move
it. I think De'Aaron has one of the most unique skill sets in the league of being one of the fastest players, being as clutch as he is, being able to develop the outside shot like he has while still being able to defend at such a high level on the defensive end. And there's not a lot of players like that. Like, we can name a couple comparable, seriously. And he's not going to get the love that he deserves. He's in Sacramento. And maybe that's also something else that, like, you're looking at and you're seeing, like, okay, this is why we want to shift. But I guess my whole point to just that and the skill set of De'Aaron Fox is the Kings have had the opportunity to build around that for the last 8 years. And not to say he was doing that for 8 years. Let's even just say the last two and a half, that it's really been more of this dominant De'Aaron Fox where he can talk about, hey, my value and other teams are going to sacrifice anything and do anything they can to put around me because I'm a great asset to have. And he probably feels like the Kings are trying, but then when there's mistakes, like mistakes, when there's things that don't work out or aren't working out, you gotta still make shit happen. Like,
I go back to last year with the Siakam deal. I know he didn't want to be here, but like, is that a gamble you maybe should have just taken and just said, who care? And we talked about this at the time when it was first brought up, where when Petrie traded Mitch for Chris Webber, Chris Webber did not want to come here. He didn't report to camp. Well, Chris Webber ends up coming here, and guess what? He made a great career, and the Kings played their best basketball that they've ever played in franchise history. I'm not saying that's the case, but like, there is some risk reward things here, right? Where like, all right, if you lose Siakam and you didn't have to give up, back in, let's just say last year it was like, hey, you had to give up Herter, Lyles, Mitchell, and a first round pick. Well, like, would you be crying right now had they lost, if Siakam walked in free agency? I mean, at the worst case, you lose Herter's deal. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, there's some risk that you have to take. And I do go back to that and go, man, I understand Siakam didn't want to be, but if Siakam came to Sacramento and he was out there with Keegan, Sabonis, and Fox, it's pretty nice. And that solves some of your wing things. So there's just all these things. And I guess my point to it is my fear about the Fox situation is, it's too little too late. Like, they're not winning enough. What solves this whole thing is if the Kings were winning. And
Yeah,
let's also
even tonight
acknowledge,
would have put a fucking band-aid on it.
but also, Morgan, like, we can't just add, Fox is part of this too, right? Like, we've talked about his consistency, right? And, Brown has talked about his consistency and doing it every night. Like, he bears some responsibility. I'm not saying everything. He's had a good year. There's some
Yeah.
responsibility for this Kings 13 and 16 record. Like, he's part of that. It's not just like he can sit back and be like, it's not me. You know what I mean? But I think the reality is, if he takes a step back and looks at his time in Sacramento, coaching changes, turnover, going back to where he wanted help and they drafted Tyrese Haliburton and Davion Mitchell, like,
Yeah.
two point guards, like, those impact you. But then there's waves. Sabonis comes here. You have this magical year, Monk, Herter. It just didn't continue. And you had one really special year that was a first round exit. That's the big picture of it. It wasn't
He's
like you won a championship.
put in the work to put himself in this situation where he can show his value as to other people or whatever, and being like, hey, there are other opportunities out there. I know how valuable I am. I mean, that's what people do. And I don't think, since you and I have been covering the Kings in these last however many years, that the Kings have been in a situation like this. Like, you think about someone like DeMarcus Cousins, who, I mean, is a literal cancer to a team, and his talent was amazing.
Right.
Amazing.
I mean, I
Amazing.
guess that's the closest to it, right? The difference is
It's
he
the
wanted to
closest.
be here
But
and they
my
moved
point
him.
is, like, even there's teams that saw the why he was not valuable because he was a cancer to a locker room, because there were so many things that you weren't getting from this guy, because it's at times he couldn't even stay on the floor. And I guess, like you're saying, that would be the closest thing that we have been in this situation, even talking about this and seeing how different it is with someone like De'Aaron Fox, who is such a good person, who is a good locker room person. I want to say is a good leader. Like, it's something he's been working on, but I think people have different definitions of leadership. Someone that gets in your face, someone that screams at you, blah, blah, blah. But really, like, he leads by example. Like,
Yeah,
that
but
is
here's the thing, and my one pushback on this is that's fine. Okay.
Yeah.
But if he's gonna be the guy that leads by example, then somebody on this team needs to lead by talking. And getting on, guys, and that's where I love when Fox gets angry.
Started the podcast like this.
When Fox gets angry at other teams, like he gets frustrated or mad at the refs, yeah. I love that. I wish he had some of that bark for his own teammates, like Kevin Durant and Chris Paul. Like, these guys get after their guys sometimes because you have to hold them in check. So anyway, getting off on a tangent here, I just think. I don't know. It just reminds me, like, this was a high school love story, and everyone thought they were going to get married. He's going to be
high
here forever.
Love story.
You know, we've all been there. I've been there, right? High school sweetheart, think you're going to marry, and it doesn't work out, right? And it doesn't mean you hate the person. It doesn't mean that you despise them. Sometimes you outgrow somebody, and maybe he's at the point of his career where it's like, I wanted it to be here. I just want to win at a high level. And maybe this is my time to get a change of scenery. And for Sacramento, it's a tough thing to figure out because you got to figure out, are you going to add to this team very soon with the hopes that it turns around, you win and you keep them? Or are you going to make the tough decision, which is, look, that may not even be enough. And the moves we make may not be enough to get him to want to stay here. It's a really tough spot. And I'm sad tonight. I am sad. And look, maybe it all works out and we laugh back. We look back at this December 22nd podcast and December 21st podcast and we laugh and we're like, oh man, remember we were tripping about that? But I just don't think it's the case. I think we're watching kind of the end unfold. This has been, if you want to call it a warning shot, well, that was the one before the season. This is the very much more serious one. And I'm sad. I'm sad because it's... I obviously get wrapped up in this a lot emotionally. I was driving home thinking about how stupid I am with, like, why do I care about a basketball team so much? Why? This is so...
I've thought about that today.
It is Christmas, and I'm driving home in silence, and I'm feeling my face red because I know why I connect with it. And we've talked about this before. You know, sports was always a distraction for me as a kid during a really tough childhood, and I love it. And this team made me fall in love with sports in the early 2000s at a level I never knew I could fall in love with. This team inspired me to watch basketball, right? So, work in basketball and be a broadcaster. That 22-23 season, that original Beam team year was so fun. And it was the first time I just felt like, okay, they got something here and they're going to build on this. We all warned, like, that year was going to be more special than any other year. There was nothing like the come up and soak it in because you don't know how long it'll last. Even when I said that, I did not think we would be here like 2 years later talking about it. And it hurts.
I thought maybe
it
five.
Hurts.
Maybe
yeah.
Five. No. And you bring up that point, and I had that same kind of thought today. And there's a part of me, you know, like people say, like, don't cry because it's over, laugh because it happened. Is that Dr. Seuss? I don't even fucking know. Whatever. My point is, I kind of got to the point where, like, I felt like, oh, why do I get this way? Why do I feel this way? And then I got to this point where I'm like, I'm just so thankful that I do feel these emotions and this connection to a team and a community of people and all these different things. And at the end of the day, when you have that connection, you're going to feel those ups and downs more than ever. And you're going to feel so much joy, and you're going to feel the downs of the downs. And this whole topic isn't either one of those. It's like life. It's just like that, like you said, that realistic possible breakup or the start of a breakup, the start of a relationship, like not being there anymore. And it's different and it's a change and it's sad, but I hope we can look back at this day and be like, oh, It was just a strategy. It was just their way of like trying to put pressure on the Kings. But you're exactly right. It doesn't feel that way today.
It feels like that would be a Christmas miracle.
Well, Christmas is around the corner.
Yeah, I'm glad Christmas is here. Yeah, it just, I guess I'm also not like mentally prepared for them to be like bad again. And that's the other thing. Maybe they, if they did trade Fox, they get pieces back, and maybe they're better than we think. Like, oh, they got some things that filled some holes, and Monk's around the point guard, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I guess we can get there when we get there. But I think my first reaction to this story tonight is just sadness, because it's just like, it's not just winning. It's like, I just was that year too. You had Brown win coach of the year, McNair win executive of the year. We had a beam that shot up in the air for the first time. It was so magical and fun, right? And Fox wins clutch player of the year. There was no drama. No drama. After years of drama, 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 drama. That was a good one. Call back to Mike Brown saying in possession. Now, this is where we're at. It's like now this is just a distraction, right? It's just like you've got this hanging over you. You can't win a damn game at home. You're a mess. Oh, and then tomorrow night, Halliburton comes to town. It's just like the wound has already had salt poured on it. I'm just like, and then here comes Halliburton, and you're like, oh no, don't pee on it too. You know, you're just like, this is bad.
And you can spiral all you want, or you can just also realize too, it's like you said, our expectations were higher, and we didn't assume that we were going to be talking about this at this point of the season.
No.
And things change so fast, and this whole situation can change fast, but it could also not change fast. And I guess sometimes you just have to look at like pressure being put on can also be a good thing. Change can also be a good thing. And so, although things feel very down right now, and being in Sacramento, there's been way more down than there has been up. At least you have assets and things to go into a direction, because there was a long period of time where you didn't have that, even that. And you didn't have like normal good people within the organization, and now you do. You do.
So let me ask you,
Yes.
would you like to see the Kings make one last effort here, add to the team in hopes to improving it that can convince Fox to stay? Or do you think it's not going to be enough?
I would. I would,
Because
but I
then you could
think.
trade him in the summertime if he doesn't want to be here, right? You can move. If he's like, I'm not going to sign an extension, I'm not going to be here, then you could trade him then.
But I think if you feel like any instincts that like, yeah, I think ultimately we can't do enough. Maybe we should even like accept this change. Then I think you just have to, like I said, trust your instinct and maybe
Yeah.
what the future actually needs to be. But I know, I mean, I want him here, so that's just me being selfish.
We said this weeks ago. I think during the last struggle before the Kings turned it around for a few games where they went like 4 of 6 or whatever. Sometimes I reference the old teams and what Jeff Petrie did because, you know, he was the one general manager who had the most success in Sacramento, right? And, you know, the Kings was 60-win season. Conference finals, all that stuff. Jeff would make the trade that could make you uncomfortable. Trading Corliss, who turned into a sixth man of the year, for Doug Christie. Trading Peja for Ron Artest. Trading Mitch for C. Webb, who didn't want to be here. Trading Jay Will for Mike Bibby. Trading Hedo in a sign and trade deal along with Scott Pollard for Brad Miller. You hear those names, you're like, oh, I love all those Kings. Yeah, Jeff traded all of them. And those are risk involved in there, but the goal was to make the team better. And so as the Kings move forward here and try to like tweak things, if they, you know, according to the Athletic, there's these names that are they're interested in, you know, they may have to think outside the box and move something that maybe makes them a little bit uncomfortable, you know, like I think everything has to be on the table at this point. This is where we're at, and this is honestly where it needs to be. Is like when we're having this conversation, you're 13 and 16. This is not good enough. Some people don't. I know there are some fans who want to blow it out completely and tank or whatever, but like, I don't think the general fans in Sacramento are going, you know what, sign me up. Let's tank and let's hope we get a number one pick and let's win 17 games. That's not fun. Can you find a way to retool things and make a jump and be competitive and get this back going the right direction? I don't know. I don't know tonight. I don't know.
Okay.
All right. We got more coming up. A few more things coming up. And I know you have to wind down. I get it.
Well, yeah,
you're on the East Coast.
I also want to end things on a like higher note because it's Christmas time. But let's talk about some of our amazing sponsors.
Yeah, I have some.
I shake my head and just
We have to look ahead to the Pacers game. I have to talk about victory laps. We're gonna do that coming up in just a second.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Should mention that tonight's podcast presented by Morgan, our friends over at Mother in Sacramento. Morgan, why should people go to Mother?
Because you want to feel good. Because you want to feel good. And I'm not kidding. In the worst times of my life, Mother has made me feel good. And hey, before a Kings game, you need to feel better. Drinks are 50% off. So go pregame with your mother, okay?
Yeah, it's a great place to eat too. Eat and drink. 2319 K Street. They've been a restaurant for almost a decade. They got that Michelin bib. Check them out. You can order online to mothersacramento.com, but go in there and feast. They have a lot of great food that you should check out. I love the po' boy. We highly recommend Mother in Sacramento, an awesome local business you should be supporting. Also presented tonight by our friends over at Gold and One Credit Union, Morgan.
We are one. So we all have to stick together and be as one.
Golden One is the official credit union of the Sacramento Kings. If you scan that QR code on the screen, you can see their range of products and services to help start your financial journey today. You can also go to goldenone.com and you get some perks, up to 50% off Kings home games on their online discount ticket portal, 15% off merch when you use your Golden One card at the Kings team store. That's how you win as one. Become a member today at goldenone.com. Also presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. If you need windows, there's no better place to go than our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. Morgan?
Well, they'll protect you. They'll be there for you in every way possible. They have great windows that will keep you warm in the winter, keep you cool in the summer. Oh, and their HVAC systems, you're welcome. They're going to just save you all the money in the world, especially living in California where it's super expensive.
Well, Morgan, I mean, I already have an HVAC system. I mean, it'd be cool if they could tune them up.
Well, they can. They can.
I'm sorry, what? They do that too? Yeah, just go to northwestexteriors.com. Check it out. You can go to their showroom. They are local. Great employees. Everyone's been there for like 30 years. They've got a good culture. Check them out, northwestexteriors.com, because Morgan Reagan, they are
simply the best.
Trust Northwest. Before we move on, a couple of things I want to get to. Who would be your simply the best player of the game?
Rich Paul.
You know what, Morgan? I haven't done this in a while to you. I haven't done this to you in a while. But you. It's not funny. It's not funny, dude.
I'm spiraling a little.
Well, don't spiral. I'm not blaming Rich Paul.
Oh, I'm not either, but I just don't. I'm not blaming him. I just gave him the player of the freaking game.
And we're not here yet, but I think if this ultimately leads to Fox being gone at the deadline or in the offseason, you can point back to last trade deadline, not doing anything at the deadline. 100%. That's what it is. You know, it's like
I was in a good place at the beginning of the podcast, and then I got to a worse place. Why? Where I feel like you start. I don't know.
What are you feeling right now? Let's talk it out real fast. I want to know. Like, why are you spiraling? Because I felt like you were like, I'm being rational right now, but you're starting to feel it a little bit. Why?
I am. I'm told, like, I just, like, the realistic nature.
I know what it is, Morgan.
What?
It's the uncertainty. We don't like in life. You know what we hate? Uncertainty. When people are talking about, dude, there could be a recession coming. We're like, dude, what the hell? What do we do? Do we sell this? With our sports teams, when we don't know something, when it's like, we're losing games. One of your guys has been here a long time. He's kind of murky about his future. Is there going to be a move happening? What's this mean? Who's on the hot seat? Who's going to stay? Yeah. Yeah. We're losing home games left and right. We're 6-10 at home.
And seriously, like, I know I jokingly put, with that tweet today, I was like, should I fly home? And I think all I kind of want is to be home in this crucial time where I just, it's like you said, nothing just feels right now. And I'm just starting to feel that as we're here doing this podcast tonight, talking about it, as I was feeling very rational, very realistic about that's life.
Everything it's the happens. Uncertainty of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. The simply the best player of the game tonight goes to the King of Kings, LeBron James, 32 points. I thought he set the tone in the first half when he had 16 points in the paint in the first half on 8 of 8 in the paint, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 steals on 13 of 24 shooting. He was 1 of 8 from three, but he settled a little bit. We give the old man some credit, right? The guy's 40 years old and was playing at times in the first half like he was 22. He's our simply the best player of the game presented by Northwest Exteriors. Simply the best. Trust Northwest. Yeah, that was the other thing is just watch. The Lakers just played like, they're playing like tough. They're playing hard. Yeah. They just look bigger and stronger and more physical. And I'm just like, all right, this is it.
And maybe I'm like, a toddler where like my emotions are everywhere because I'm like tired. You know, I've been waking up early, staying up late, doing a shit ton of games, and I love it all, but like maybe just with this, like emotions are coming out and I'm like,
Well, dude, think about the highs we had over the off season, right? Like I'm only speaking for us. I didn't think the Kings necessarily fixed all their issues this off season, but I got very excited about DeMar DeRozan. I'm like, dude, they need another guy that can get a bucket. Resigning Malik Monk looked like a big pickup at a reasonable rate. I'm like, okay. And then you're like waiting to see if anything else happened. Nothing else happened. And I was like, they're still going to be good. Like, it's still going to be fun. And to see what it's looked like. And DeMar, the last couple of games, just hasn't looked good. This is like one of the first times I'm like, kind of looks 35, 36, you know? And I don't know if the back's still bugging him or what, but like, taking tough shots with Anthony Davis on him. Like, I don't know. He just hasn't looked comfortable either. But I guess my point is the high of that time. And yeah. I guess that's one thing I want to bring up too. Discord, my guy Chip, who I have great conversations with, and we've had debates and all this stuff. He's a good guy. And I saw a couple people in the chat, Emiliano, and I forget one other person, like saying, see, this is what I told you preseason, man. They were 0-6 in the preseason. Like, see, I told you, blah, 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 preseason. I'm like, I promise you, the Kings are 13-16. I still will never believe that the preseason is a factor in whether a team is going to be good or not. Like, I've seen really bad Kings teams be awesome in the preseason. I've seen good Kings teams be awful in the preseason. To me, it's never been a measuring stick in the NBA. But with that said, some of the issues that they had in the preseason are the same issues that are happening now. So maybe this is just one of those weird times in NBA history where it's like, actually, it kind of did matter. The Kings were, you know, they might have been figuring some stuff out, but they weren't shooting the ball well from three in the preseason. They're not really shooting the ball well from three this year. They look clunky at times in the preseason. They look clunky now. You know what I mean? It's weird. I still don't buy it, but it's what a few people have mentioned when they take a victory lap. I'm just like, okay, are you happy you're right that the King, the preseason matter? Are you happy you're right that the DeRozan fit right now doesn't look great all the time? Like, I don't know. Congrats for being right. I don't know. Like, what do you want me to say? Oh, no. Morgan's in the deep. You're a dark spot.
You know what else it is? I haven't eaten anything all day except, like, a protein bar.
Dude, you know what?
It's 11 o'clock.
I've had one meal today.
I'm so hungry.
And I really hope it's just like maybe I'm not hungry, or is it maybe because am I feeling emotional and I'm not?
We need to take care of ourselves first. That's what we need to do.
Yep, yep, yep. If you have not done it yet, hit the thumbs up and subscribe. You just need a win. You need a lot of wins. You got the Pacers and Pistons coming up. You've had a lot of time off during the span. I think that was another thing people got excited about, right? You've lost three in a row now in very tough fashions. Kings and Pacers.
There we go.
Is it a little bit like this feels like a script that the Kings are at this low point of their season? The Fox stuff and the team you play coming up next, Tyrese Haliburton, Pascal Siakam, and the Indiana Pacers. Isn't that kind of wild?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is. But at the same time, like, they probably plan it like that. So tickets, you know, are selling around Christmas time. People are home. Like, no, seriously, like there's strategy to it as well. But it's where it's poetic, or however you want to be like, that's wild, is because of where the Kings are. This would be such a much more exciting script or story to tell if it was like you were feeling good.
Yeah.
Even if you don't won against the Lakers, you're feeling better.
And it's kind of wild too when you kind of look at both teams. Indiana's coming into this game at 13-15. Sacramento's at 13-16. Indiana made it to the conference finals last year, a path that, you know, maybe was easier because of injuries. We acknowledge that. But they had lofty expectations. The Kings wanted Siakam. The Pacers are the team who got him and who re-signed him. They're off to a start that they're not happy with. Now, it should be noted the Pacers have won three in a row, Morgan, and they won at Phoenix the other night. Siakam's been playing well. Yeah, I don't know what to say. You know, this Pacers team has struggled with consistency too. They've had issues both offensively and defensively. These teams are a little bit similar in some ways with how disappointing they've been. But I think it's going to be a really interesting night because Haliburton did not play in Sacramento last year. His first game back in Sacramento, right after the trade, he did not play well, and the Kings handled the Pacers. The Pacers won here last year without him, and this was after the Siakam trade was made, and Siakam had not appeared in his first game. TJ McConnell cooked the Kings that night. I don't know. What's kind of your vibe going into tomorrow afternoon? Final game before Christmas.
Final day before Christmas.
How they do it? Like,
you just, I mean, it's, you can say the cliche things. You got to dig deep. You got to, like, I never question this team's effort. I never question what they're capable of doing. And then when they play great basketball, we sit here and we celebrate. We have some fucking fog and we have some fun. You know, like, that's literally what this season has been. So my expectations going in tomorrow is nothing. Like, I'm going to let you analyze everything on tomorrow. or I guess you're not on pregame tomorrow,
No.
but like I guess my point is like, or you can talk about all the different things of like, yeah, how do you go up against this person? How do you defend this person? How do you do this? You just gotta play some basketball right now. Like you just gotta play basketball the right way. And that's what we're not seeing consistently from this Kings team. And I don't know if that's playing with freedom or just like not thinking too much and just playing tough and making sure you're getting the 50-50 balls and protecting home court. The amount of times I don't believe in just saying that to this team. I don't know. I sit here tonight. I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. I don't have any expectations for tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I feel like I have felt like this several times in this season going to, but it's a back to back too. You know, that's the other thing. It's a freaking back to back.
Yeah, and the
So like,
Pacers got into town yesterday. Tyrese went to Fixins. He posted about that. They're just chilling in Sacramento.
yeah.
Feet up.
So.
Well, it'll be an interesting night, no doubt. Super chats, by the way. Shout out to Sebastian, the Spurs fan, who says Foxy the Spurs. Oh God. Thanks so much to Kenneth for donating or becoming a member 30 straight months. Jacob donating $5. At this point, does a Cam Johnson or Kuzma trade even get us above 500 if the others don't improve? I don't know. Kuzma is like, he's having an awful year. Does it make you better? I don't know. Does he buy in? What kind of lift does he bring? I think Cam Johnson is a great locker room dude. He's playing at a high level. I think the cost for him is going to be too expensive. And probably too risky.
I don't want to talk about trades right now
Okay,
either. I just
sorry.
don't like I
Sorry
like
for saying anything.
no, I'm just like I'm in this place now too where I'm just like, yeah, like you got another game tomorrow.
Yeah, you
You
got to figure it
gotta
out.
figure something out. Stop the bleeding. Just play some good basketball. God, I went like if you look at the beginning of this podcast to where I'm now, I don't know if it's because I'm hungry. I don't know if it's because I'm tired. I don't know if it's because we talked about everything, but like just look at the difference of my face, of
Yeah.
my spirit. Everything's being taken away from me.
Well, Jay says, don't give up Kings family. We've seen worse days. I got faith in the coach and the core five. The players will figure it out. Wow, that's
I
good.
know.
A bad news, sour grapes, donates $5 saying, cheer up, Morgan. Looking stressed and depressed. I feel your pain. Merry Christmas to both of you. Much love and respect. We should mention this. Morgan is going to be flying home from Orlando. God, your arms are going to be so tired tomorrow. So Morgan is not going to be on the podcast tomorrow.
Which is also depressing, which is
Oof,
also
oof,
depressing.
oof, oof. No Morgan. I will be joined by our good buddy, Brendan Nunes from Sacktown Sports. He's going to be on as guest hosts.
Juice
Deuce
and
and
Brent.
Brendan.
Juice and Brent.
Brend?
Yeah,
Yeah.
like
And
once.
he's been doing a great job covering the Kings, so we'll get his perspective on what the Kings should do. You know what I mean? All that stuff. So that will be really good. Morgan,
If they win for you, then Brendan needs to just be on all the time.
you're not getting out this season, I can tell you that.
I would never want to. I
Yeah,
want. Why do you think I'm here right now in Orlando watching a loss after doing two freaking games? Like, yeah.
with that said, this is the final one together before Christmas. And you know, I'm very sentimental during this time, Morgan. Do you have anything you want to say to the audience as we approach the holiday season?
Yeah, I need this. So thank you. As we approach the holiday season and we reflect on everything, it doesn't just have to be this season. It can be on everything that we've all kind of grown together with. And although the Kings lost tonight, the reason why I am like passionate and determined every single time to watch the game and make sure that I'm on the podcast is because I want to be there. Like I don't care if it's midnight here. I don't care if it's 1:30 a.m. like it was the other night. Like this to me, and some people call it therapy, some people call it, you know, fun, whatever. Like it just feels I can't imagine doing anything else. And I'm just thankful for this time because it's like anything in life. There can always be changes in life, and you always have to be ready for anything. And I'm just so thankful for all this. So thank you, everyone, for always being here. always supporting us, but truly, I always feel like that I get this special space and time with you. And you too, Deuce.
Yeah. Merry Christmas to everybody. It's, to echo what you're saying, it's magical that we have this space where we can hang out and enjoy the highs that come and deal with what we're going through now, which is the lows. And even if we all disagree at times and we go at each other and we debate, I think we all want the same thing, and that's the Kings to win. And it's just cool that there's a community of Kings fans and NBA fans around the world who come here after every Kings game and hang out with us. And I'm always so grateful during this time. I love Christmas. Makes me happy. And I get to the point where I get so reflective, and I'm like, oh, this is so awesome. And I am just really grateful that you guys are here with us as basketball sickos, enjoying this bumpy ride together.
Oh.
We're back tomorrow night following Kings and Pacers. It's going to be a late start because Brendan's got his duty, so he'll probably be around 7:30 or 8. We're going to be live. Deuce, as the chat is saying, Brendo, do you want to go with that? Deuce and Brendo. Deuce and Brendo.
It has to be one syllable.
We have not had a guest host in a long time, Morgan. Last time was my guy Kenny Caraway, KC.
And was that for the same reason?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe.
G League Showcase.
Okay. League Showcase. We appreciate you guys so much. Make sure to get in the comments. What?
One more thing.
Yeah.
I just want everyone to know that the amount of former Kings that I was around today, and I want to name every single one. Let's start with Nick Stauskas doing the broadcast with him.
Nick rocks.
And then you go to Jamias Ramsey on the OKC Blue. Wow. And then let's just go to the Windy City Bulls where you got DJ Stewart and Chris Duarte.
Duarte played today?
Duarte
in the G League
again.
Showcase?
Yeah. I think like, you
okay,
know.
Okay. And this is just not out of any disrespect. Okay. Chris Duarte, last year at this time, was like getting minutes for the Sacramento Kings. And this year he's playing in the G League Showcase. Crazy.
I know.
That's crazy.
And it was so cute because I like got to say hi really quick. I was about to do a hit and I like got to say
guy.
Hi. And that's the thing.
Awesome
he's
guy.
Such a great guy. And I just think about like his mentality through all this adversity and everything that he's dealt with. And it's like he still wants to be in it and wants to make sure that he's like finding a way.
Did
and
you
so
ask like, Nick Stauskas about Sacramento at all? Or did you guys have anything?
You know, I talked to him off the side for like a quick second. Like it was like broadcast after broadcast. And I was like, yeah, I covered you. He didn't remember me, which it's fine. I wasn't. Wow. I was just in sports radio at the time.
We anyway. Barely remember him, right?
No.
Okay.
And I asked him about the Sauce Castillo thing. I was like, yeah, did you ever find that weird that everyone's just calling you Sauce Castillo? And he's like, you know, at first I was like, whatever. And then I was like, oh, cool. Sauce is a cool nickname. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Cool breakdown. I like it. I like it.
Way to reunite with some Kings legends.
I know. It was, it's interesting always being around Kings, Stockton Kings people, former. All the things. So yeah, it's been fun, but I miss being home and I love Sacramento so much. Oh my God.
It's a beamless week, as the chat says.
It's a beamless week as a light sleepless. It's a beamless week and I'm waiting for Santa. Can he bring me wins in his old bag and bring me joy on top of Rudolph? And maybe I don't even need you. Maybe I don't want to see you. And maybe you're just nothing and you don't exist. I'm talking about Santa. Because it's a beamless night. And if you were real, you'd bring me a fucking beam.
I'm going to say, maybe your best improv ever. Are you kidding me? You're talking about you're hungry. You haven't slept. You're doing G League games in Orlando. You just watched some Kings basketball. You're dealing with the emotions. And that was your shit tonight? Oh, my God. I you know what? Happen. Kings by 20 tomorrow after that shit, dude. If the Kings don't win by 20 tomorrow, I don't know. I don't believe in anything. That was Unbelievable.
You're so stupid.
Holy shit.
That's my favorite thing about you, Deuce. It's the little things that are the big things for you.
Oh, yes. Just like in basketball, the little things, the big things.
There you go.
7 turnovers in the third. It's a big thing. All right. We love you guys so much, but we gots to go.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you day after Christmas, or I will.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit 2, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.